But I'll start with a prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here. Please be with our absent brethren, wherever it is they might be. And I pray, Lord, that you would spare lives. I pray you too, Father, that you would go before us, that need you, and fight for us, Lord, I pray, in the hearts and minds of those in power and those that are optimistic. We pray especially for Israel at this time, that you would bless them and honour them and provision them, that you would save many, many lives. And Father, that you would show everyone on the world stage just exactly who the troublemakers are and who they are. Please cleanse us and refresh us, Lord. Please bless this time that we've set aside. Please help us, Lord, always to keep our eyes on you. Be with our sister churches, Lord. And then Stan and Karen and the folks in Bangor. For Ed and Joan Bissett, Lord, and the folks up in Claddy and Temple Patrick. Pray you too, Lord, for the Foxes, for the Smiths, the Kennedys, the Snows. Pray you as well, Lord, for Glenn Wilkinson, for Johnny Campbell, for very especially for Pastor Hayne and Pastor Asquith and Pastor Seeley, and their own families and their church families, Lord. Please be with all of these souls. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's take our wee black hymn books. And we'll begin with number 12. This is Bradfield, that means you're up. Number 12 is I Know My Name Is There, and we will just remain seated for this one. Big books. And we'll go to 240 and two lines picked for the evening. Hymn number 240 in the big hymn book, The Lily of the Valley, and we will stand as we sing. Chapter 4 has the first reference in the New Testament to the rapture. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Word of God says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Then every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honour. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another, excuse me, with these words. Amen. Thank you for that, for your good attention. I just want to, as soon as I find it here, yep, must be in my Bible somewhere. There it is. Just want to remind everybody that we are due another prayer list this coming Sunday, all being well. But in the meantime, we've got these little prayer lists. And they're pretty unchanged as far as everything goes. But please do remember all the names that are on that. Even if you have to read through it with your eyes open, God doesn't mind you praying with your eyes open as long as you're talking to God. I have heard ministers say that we ought to be in a constant attitude of prayer. That doesn't mean you walk around with your eyes closed, because you can be talking to God as you walk, but if you're talking to God as you walk with your eyes closed, could end up on one of those YouTube videos of people walking down a manhole or out into traffic. Please do pray for those people. I think Norman needs prayer, not just for his health, but for this legal issue he has with his stepson. Please pray for Colin. He's having a little bit of difficulty getting out of Ukraine, as we've mentioned already, so please do pray for him. And do pray for each other. For Pat and Steve and Will as well, please pray for each other. And I have a list of private prayer requests for Monica and myself, for Will and Norman, for Ling as well, and for Steve. I haven't seen Pat since this prayer list came out, so please do pray for Pat and Steve at this time as well. Brother Steve had an angina attack on Friday, I think it was, and that is the first one he has had since he came out of hospital nearly a year ago, 11 months ago, and we would appreciate your prayers for him at this time, and always as well. So anyway, we're going to have a little word of prayer, and then we're going to continue on, so let's close your eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord. I know sometimes as we come before you, Lord, and we have a whole bunch of things that we want to pray to you about, it seems very impersonal and it seems very like a shopping list, but we're thankful all of our prayers are not like this. And that you have said that these things bother us and we need to get them off our chest, that we should bring all of them before you, Lord, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would help Norman back on his feet, help recover him from whatever it was that he got. Please save Colin's life, Lord. Please look after Will as he travels up and down to Belfast. Please be with Frank, Lord, as he's living his life and working over in London. Please be with Pat and Steve and the health issues there too, Father. So much going on. I know each one of us has things that we don't talk about, but really do need your touch upon our lives. And I pray, Lord, for that, please. There's so much going on in the world, Lord, that we know that you know about it, and you have put so much of it into our Bibles by way of prophecy. Let us remember to keep our eyes upon you. Thank you for being able to come before you at any time for any reason. And I am so glad, Lord, there was never a time limit or an age limit put in that. Please, Lord, continue to work in and on us and through us. And don't be done with us, Lord. We want to see folks saved and living for you. We want to see Israel victorious yet again and coming through all of this now. And we want to see you in the air. Please bless us and watch over us. Please be with Dr. Shine too this evening. Please help him as well as he fellowships and worships with us, Lord. And please broaden our borders. Please be with those that have gone. And please restore the fellowship with you, Lord. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your word. Amen. All right, let's take another one of these hymns. Let me see, we're going to do that one at the end. Let's do number 13 in the black book. Number 13 in the black book. That is, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Hymn number 13 in the black book. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Your eyes upon Jesus.
that whole psalm as we sing.
Chapter 16, just four verses, the first four verses. I thought it would be a good one to, or even five verses, but it would be a good one to think on because, well, it's just good verses and thought-provoking, that's the word. The title for our little Bible study this evening is What Lies Ahead. What Lies Ahead. Now, Matthew chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, what lies ahead. Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? The wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, and he left them and departed. Amen. A very, very sad last sentence there. I would hate to think of anyone here being in a situation where Jesus left you and departed. I just would not like that for anybody. I wouldn't like it for myself. I wouldn't like it for anybody else. But that is the end of all of those that, as the Lord said, are wicked and adulterous. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll proceed. Heavenly Father, please bless this time around your word. Please open our understanding and help us, Lord, to learn a little bit more about you, about ourselves, about the direction our lives need to go or what's on in the world. But Father, I just thank you for loving us and watching over us. And I pray you please that you be one of our number this evening. And that you would be amongst our brethren wherever it is it might be. Thank you for loving us, Lord. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The last line, if you like, of verse number 3, where the Lord said to the scribes and the Pharisees, now bear in mind, he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? I can vaguely remember the time when someone first told me about red sky at night is a shepherd's delight, and the red sky in the morning is shepherd's warning. And it hasn't changed in all of those years that if there's a red sky at night, you know it's going to be a good day tomorrow, especially in the summer. It's very important in Northern Ireland where people sometimes are depending on harvesting crops and things like that to know when the good weather is. And then we know if we get up and the sky's all red, you know, it's going to be a bad day. Now, I have only learned that in the past maybe 50 years, but that is quite literally a fact of life, because here it's mentioned 2,000 years ago by the Lord God Almighty himself, Jesus Christ. Farmers and most every man in the street knows by looking at the sky, what it's going to be like today, or what it's going to, depending on whether it's red or not, it's literally a fact of life. Now, the first time somebody hears that, they might doubt it. But whenever it's proven true time and time again, you start to say, well, you can look at the sky for yourself and say, it's going to be a good day today, or it's going to be a bad day today. You can sort of work that out yourself. And this is the reason that Jesus said the things that he did. Because time and time again, people looked at the skies and were able to tell if it was going to be a good day or if it was going to be a bad day. For generations, since the flood, for 2,000 years before Jesus was incarnated in the flesh and walked amongst us, people were able to tell what the weather was going to be like. But if you were to take the word of God and look back even to the days of Adam and Eve, and the first prophecy being that it was going to take the shed blood of an innocent substitute to cover sin, which of course Jesus was called the Lamb of God, and he was going to give his life to be the shed blood of that innocent substitute to cover our sin, you would think with all of the prophecies, even just about Jesus, you would think that people would say, well, hold on a wee second, that prophecy came true, and that prophecy came true, and that prophecy came true, and that prophecy came true. My goodness, even if the scribes and the Pharisees had gone to church and just listened to Jesus, even if they had sought him out outside of church time and sought the company of God and listened to his words and saw the effect that he had on people that just listened to the preaching, but as well as that, on the lives of the people whom he touched and healed and cast demons out of and grew arms and legs back and even called out to the dead, they wouldn't be saying, "Show us a sign from heaven." Because quite literally, everything about Jesus' life was a sign from heaven. One of the best prophets as regarding God and Jesus coming is the prophet Isaiah. For in, I think it's Isaiah 7, the word of God says that this shall be a sign unto you, a virgin shall be with child. And it says, I think it's, is it 11? It goes on to say, or 9, goodness my, somewhere in the early chapters, it talks about, unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's in Isaiah 9. It says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth forever. In other words, telling that there will be a kingdom of God coming and it will never pass. And that is coming. We know it's not here yet, but we know it's coming. We know that the Bible talks about in Psalms that not a bone of his body would be broken. And people might think, well, so what? One of the signs of crucifixion was that the legs of the men being crucified would be broken to asphyxiate them. But the Bible says, and even way back in Moses' day, they said to roast the lamb and don't break any of the bones. Whenever they, does anyone remember what happened when they went to break Jesus' legs? They found that he was dead already. And then they sent a soldier to make sure he was dead, and he thrust him through, up, through underneath the ribs, into his heart, and water and blood came out. That was mentioned in the Bible. The Bible talks about cursed is he that is hung on a tree. And Jesus became a curse for us, just like it says in Isaiah 53. Even as a baby, whenever he had no power to do anything himself, the Bible talks about Jesus, my son, being called out of Egypt. And people are going, so Jesus came from Egypt. Well, we know whenever Jesus was only 2 years old that the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream and told him to leave really, really quick because Herod was going to kill the little children. And he fled to Egypt. And he was going, when he was coming back from Egypt sometime later, he heard that I think his son was on the throne, and instead of going back to Bethlehem, he came to Nazareth. The Bible talks about him being born in Bethlehem. It talks about him coming out of Egypt. It talks about him being a Nazarene. All of those things came true. Even the Lord said himself, I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the power to take it up again. And that's exactly what he did. But I noticed, he said, the only thing, the only sign that an unbeliever will be given is the sign of the prophet Jonas. If anyone recalls their biblical history, Jonas was swallowed by a great fish 3 days and nights down in the depths of the sea. And that is, if you like, the same as Jesus being 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth, preaching to those that had been trusting God before Jesus came. And he brought them all up to heaven with him again. In Zechariah 13 and verse number 6, there is a quote there about where did those wounds in your hands come from? And the word of God says, I received them in the house of my friends. Wounds in his hands being the marks of the crucifixion. There's those signs. There was the mark, the prophecy about gambling for his clothes nearly a thousand years previously. And that's exactly what they did. They gambled for his clothes. He was surrounded by dogs. Again, nearly a thousand years previously. And it was the Romans that crucified him. All of these things. And all that they had to do was, instead of standing with their noses up in the air, rejecting God, was just saying, now hold on a wee second. The exact same words that the people in Noah's day had to say, all they had to say was, hold on a wee second. This guy is raising the dead. This guy is casting out demons. This guy is taking like a one wee fella's packed lunch and he's feeding thousands of people with it. I'm going to go and listen to him. One man did that. Does anyone remember his name? Nicodemus. One man, one Pharisee. And he went to see Jesus for himself. That's really, really sad. These smart people, they have professed themselves to be wise, but have become fools, and they have the rock, that solid rock of a foundation that will be there for anyone that searches out God, has become nothing but a stone of stumbling. Those were just about Jesus, and those were the things that he spoke of. But some of the other things, especially one day when Jesus walked into the temple, and the disciples were saying, look at the walls. Look at the gold decorations. Look at the altar. Isn't this stuff beautiful? Does anyone remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something. There will not be one stone left standing upon another in this temple. And about 30 years later, when there was a revolt in Jerusalem, the Romans came and burned the place to the ground. The gold actually melted in between the bricks, and they tore the place apart so that not one stone was left standing on another to get the gold that had run in between the bricks. And they always said that if a man stands up and says, I'm a prophet of God, he has to make short-term prophecies first. And if those happen, then you better pay attention to the long-term prophecy. Jesus made many. That is one that happened about 30 years after he left this world, went up again to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. But there are many others. Many others, of course, which are happening right now. 10 years ago, we didn't see them happen. But they're happening right now. Matthew 24, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all have their version of this portion of God's word, where it talks about in the last days, which we're in, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famines and pestilences. There will be earthquakes all over the place. And we've got that. Did you know there's a famine on right now? Did you know that? We were just talking about it there, John. Everything has gotten so expensive because there's less of it. And we don't see it very badly here, but it's here. Does anyone know what diseases are running about at the moment? What's the one that they're going to try and trot out again? COVID. I think who was telling me someone had COVID? I don't think it's normal. I think somebody else that I'm supposed to know has it. But anyway, the Bible also talks about a persecution of God's people. I don't know if you have noticed at the moment just how many people right the way across the world, even in, was it in Dromore, where you were telling me that Philip and Lynn go to church or Trevor goes to church, and Dromore, like the back of beyond, tiny little town in the middle of nowhere, had people waving pro-Palestinian flags outside of it. That's a hatred for the Jews and God's people. It's coming, it's here. And it's going to get worse and worse. The Bible also talks about the rise of many false religions. And it's here. It talks about the state of mankind, us. In 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 3 and Isaiah chapter 5, it talks about people in general becoming very proud. You can't talk to them. You can't reason with them. They become proud and covetous, wanting everything that they see. They're boasters. They're disobedient to parents and other authority figures in their lives. They're blasphemers. Have you ever heard a time like it, from people taking the Lord's name in vain? And in 2 Peter 3, it talks about people being despisers of those that are good. Instead of somebody saying, "Oh, thank you for warning me about my immortal soul, I wondered what this constant conviction was in my heart," they say, "Get away on out of here. All you're doing is spoiling my fun." But that's where we're at. And sadly, even the guys that stand behind the pulpits, by the way, you have carte blanche to not come to church. You don't have to come to church if I start preaching another gospel. But as long as I am preaching the gospel of God and warning you of sin and judgment to come and telling you about the great blessings that God has for his children, you need to be in church. But there are people that the Bible calls traitors who should be telling you the gospel, who should be warning you that so much of what bothers people in this day and age is would disappear if they got into church and down on their hands and knees and got saved. But they're traitors. They're not telling you you need to get saved. They're not even telling you how to get saved or how to overcome the things that come at us day in and day out. The Bible talks about men that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Whenever I was in Union Theological College up in Belfast, every single man, with one or two exceptions, ended up with 2 degrees. Primary degree, and then a degree in divinity. So there's something worth thinking on. The greatest one, and the one that is almost like the starter pistol, is the restoration of Israel, which happened about 75, 76 years ago. And it mentions their constant warring with the Arab countries around and about it. And of all the land in the Middle East, the Muslim countries, they comprise like 97 or 98% of the land. Israel has 1 or 2%, if that. They're a tiny little speck. And if the Muslim nations laid down their weapons, there would be no more war. But if Israel laid down their weapons, there would be no more Israel. And we can even see in our own country now, in the UK, that even though Muslims claim they are peaceful, they're not. As long as they're outnumbered, outmaneuvered, outgunned, they're peaceful. Because they know they'll get blasted if they step out of line. But as soon as they think they're strong, they will start causing trouble. We also see in the Christian nations of the world, in Europe and in the UK and the USA, that our governments are so blinded by the lies and the teachings of you can't talk about Muslims, that's Islamophobia. I can't talk about Muslims. They're pagans. They come from the same root as Judaism. They come from Abraham. But they have gone far, far away from the truth and the gospel, and they're worshipping other gods. And our government, the UK government, is complicit in that. We're living in these days when Israel is hated. And you and I, as Israel's adopted, if you like, brothers and sisters, we are hated too. And just as a little bit of an aside and stepping even further into the future, it should not be a surprise, with all of these Western countries supporting the Muslim religion, Islam, more than Christianity, that all of these countries will at some stage come together against Israel, like it says in the Bible, even those that are supposed to support them. The Bible says Israel will never lose. Won't lose. Anybody that bothers themselves about Israel is going to come off second best. Even the United States of America right now has called upon Israel to have a ceasefire. And Israel has just said, we are not interested in what you have to say. It's the same with Britain. It's the same with Europe. They keep their own counsel. They will never lose. And the only person that will give Israel any bother is the Antichrist. And he is going to set himself up in the synagogue to be worshipped as God. And that is when the Jews are commanded to run for the hills. That hasn't happened yet. But it's going to happen. In Matthew 24, the Lord said, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Don't get yourself bent out of shape. By the way, I don't hate Muslims. I hate Islam. I hope you know the difference. Anybody that wants to come to Christ can come to Christ. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, if you're a Muslim, if you're a devil worshipper, if you're a Protestant, a Catholic, a Buddhist, a Confucianist. It doesn't matter what you were. But when you come to Christ, you become a Christian, a child of the King of Kings. And there is an open invitation to everybody. The Bible says, don't be listening to the nonsense that's on TV. Don't be listening to the BBC or ITV or Sky. Don't be listening to them. Because what they tell you changes from week to week. A year ago, everybody needed to support Ukraine. Now, Ukraine is a lost cause, and Russia was in the right, and Ukraine has just killed hundreds of thousands of its young men, and it's literally destroyed Ukraine. It's changed in the space of less than a year. And you've had the BBC supporting it. You've had ITV supporting it. You've had CNN and MSNBC and all these news channels telling people what to believe. I would say to you, by all means, watch those things. But you need to pay more attention to your Bible. The Bible will never change. It will always have in it what is good for you and for me. And that's not going to change 100 years from now. You need to remember that even in these difficult times, that God has his promises to you and I, his children. There's a lot of Bible verses here, so you'll not have to listen to me much longer, just me reading the Bible. This is God's promise to you, even when things are going bonkers around about us. In John chapter 10, the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a promise to you. Once you're saved, Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand. He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's the way God has you. I and my Father are one. You can't be unsaved. There's another wee verse out of Hebrews 13, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. All that the Father giveth, in John chapter 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If we were to read Revelation chapter 6 through 16. That's a pretty horrendous time for the world. Half of the world's population, at least, is killed with earthquakes. The animals running bonkers. You ever seen any of those shows whenever there's an earthquake or a volcanic eruption? And the animals can detect it minutes before we can, and they're all running. It's not like when there's a T-Rex coming after them through the forest, but it looks the same. God said, all these things are going to happen. And as I send these disasters across the world, all the people that have rejected me are going to be punished. So, if you don't want to be punished, accept God. He said there's 21 judgments. But we've already been judged, found guilty, and exonerated through the blood of Jesus Christ, so we can't be judged again. So the Bible reading that we had in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is also mentioned again. It says, behold, in 1 Corinthians 15, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. For death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There's a lot of stuff out there, and it's very easy to get bogged down in it. I know what it was like just, 3.5, 4 years ago. Round about this time, I was starting to get very sick, and I was due to spend a fortnight in hospital, and the next year getting back on my feet. And the whole world went crazy for 2 years about COVID. There will always be something introduced to the people in the world to put a spirit of fear into them. And as often as they can do it, the powers that be will. Because if they can put us off balance spiritually, we will stop looking to God. We will look to anybody that will save us. So many people are going to end up looking to the Antichrist. When we read the newspapers, when we hear the news, there's always new lows, new depths to plumb, even from our own leaders, the wicked things that they get up to. And the population doesn't aspire to get better than that. They're just saying, well, thank goodness he did that. I feel so much better about myself. All of the things that we have mentioned, I know some of them are new and uncertain, fearful even to people that don't know anything about the Bible or people lost souls. But for the saved soul, you've been warned. This is what lies ahead for the whole world. And if you knew whenever there was a burglar going to come into your house, I am sure with a pair of pliers and a spare plug, you could probably set up a couple of traps or some interesting shocking experiences for him. Or maybe even be waiting with him for a car or two before. Or a dog. Or a bunch of your mates. You would get ready. This is how Jesus says to get ready. In Luke 21 he said, and when these things begin to come to pass, and they're beginning to come to pass, then look up. Don't be looking at all the things around about. Look up at Jesus, the Jesus that never changes. For your redemption draweth nigh. And this is what Jesus said. Another one of the signs of the times parables. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. This is what lies ahead. You can do a whole lot of stuff in the meantime, but if there's anybody that you know and love that needs to hear about Jesus, I would say, tell them quickly. And I want to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you for your time. We are going to finish with hymn number 19 in the little black books, if you'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 19. This is one of my favourite closing out the services hymns. Hymn number 19 is God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Let's stand as we sing.
Till we meet again.
Thank you, Lord, for this time. Pray that you would bless the preaching and teaching of your word, the fellowship, the songs, the tithes, the offerings. Lord, the reading and teaching of your word. Please bless it all to us, Father. And please go with us as we leave here tonight and see us safely home and back the next appointed time. Just thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please be with Norman and Pat and Steve and Will and Colin and Frank and Dr. Shine. Please, Lord, we leave them all at your feet, as well as each one of us as well. Bless us, keep us, strengthen us, make us bold and wise, Lord. And please don't be done with us. Please use us. We love you and praise you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen,
amen, folks. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed.